Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show with Ray Smith and Sandra Johnson. Today, we're here with John Spurr, the CEO and founder of Inspired Life Mortgage, which is a subsidiary of Inspired Life Group.
That is correct. And we just got the first proof for the Inspired Life Group webpage today. It's going to be amazing.
Wow. Will you tell everybody else, what else do you have besides just Inspired Life Mortgage?
Wow, we have so many things. So we have Inspired Life Mortgage, Inspired Life Chiropractic, which also has massage, acupuncture, software therapy, Hockett, so on and so forth. And then we also have Inspired Life Home Services, which is a handyman service. And then one of these days, I'm going to get my real estate license.
We're fighting that one because I can.
But you guys are fighting me on it, but I'm going to do it just because I can.
We're fighting that one really, really hard.
You've already been working on that one for a little while, though. Yeah. So I'm not going to say you're slow, but
I'm slow. I took a break from it because I had other things come up.
Lending. I mean, come on, that is what you do.
I'm really good at it.
You are good at it.
For 32 years, I've been doing it. So
yeah, you're expert at this now.
You know, honestly, the reason I want my real estate license is so that I can answer those real estate questions and be answering them legally while I'm doing my job, as opposed to maybe saying things I probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, no, that's actually a real thing. Because when I first started in the business, my first lender, I stopped working with because they were advising my clients on real estate things. And they were a very good lender as far as knowing their products. But at the point you tell my clients what your offer should be or things like that, it's like, we can't work together. So very well qualified in their area. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as agents, we need to be giving that advice. And so that was one of the first hurdles I ran into.
And we've all heard the term stay in your lane. It's not my favorite term, but like it's a process, right? I did a post the other day, how many people are involved in the mortgage process? And I've added this up multiple times, and there's 17 different companies. If you initiate every inspection and have attorneys and everything involved, you're going to have 17 companies. And we all have a specific job to do.
We don't usually do 17, but I can see where you have the potential for that.
Well, yeah, and also throwing in there on my end, you've got the company that's underwriting it, and you have the MI company, and you have the credit reporting agency. And I mean, there's so many pieces of the puzzle that are individuals that are involved in it.
So on our side, we typically are working with a lender, a home inspector, someone looking at the sewer lines, the roof, and then really from there it's the title company, and unless the home inspector is making recommendations, our circle is a little bit smaller than yours.
It's just a process. But the whole real estate license thing for me is it wasn't to go do real estate, it's to
be able to inform people
and cover my own rear end in case I say something I'm not supposed to say.
Don't do it, John.
We're trying to convince him. Just give us a call, John. I think we'll be able to answer those questions and let you do all the things that you do, because you are a guide in this business when it comes to lending and mortgage.
We've given you some tough clients here lately, too. But we don't want to talk.
It's not just you; it's everybody.
We don't want to talk about our clients, but we have. I mean, it's like right now in our industry, it feels like the clients have more financial challenges that they're facing.
Right.
Homes have more just physical things going on with the house that they're facing. And a lot of sellers that we talk to are also dealing with more financial pieces to it than what we saw a couple of years ago.
Yeah, no, I continue to see more and more borrowers. And I think this is partly because rents have gotten out of control, right? They're finally at a point where if I'm going to pay this much money, I want my own house, which is great. I want everybody to buy a house. But I'm starting to get more and more and more credit challenged individuals. And part of it's frustrating for me because most of these people have money for a down payment and they've got good income, but they just got bad advice over the last couple of years from a credit standpoint. And the credit just isn't there to get it done.
So the number one tip we have for anyone listening, if you've got credit questions, call John. Because really, people can, with great intentions, start making decisions about closing cards or prioritizing their debt. And they may not be doing the best
best thing
for their credit score.
And I'll give you an example right now. I do credit monitoring of anybody I close a loan for because there's a time frame in which they have to make all their payments, and I'll have to buy the loan back. And this is a transaction that we all worked on, and I got notification that one of the individuals has gone into a credit counseling service and they are negotiating all of their debt. Now, that's not going to make me buy the loan back, but the refinance that was going to get done for these people when rates went down just went out the window.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and these debt service companies get on the phone with you and they make it sound so great. Oh, no, we do this all the time. We're going to negotiate your credit cards down. They're going to accept this. It's not a bankruptcy.
Right.
It's still not paying all of your debt, and it's still negative on your credit report.
What kind of a hit, and maybe you don't even know the answer to this, but what kind of a hit would someone take on their credit if they are negotiating and not paying that debt?
A lot of lenders look at it as it was a bankruptcy, the same concept as doing a Chapter 13 where the court negotiates your debt down. It's the same concept. You're just doing it from a private company. So it could be as significant as 2 years before you're able to do anything. FHA will accept the credit counseling after you've made 6 payments or 12 payments into it. But, you know, sometimes going from a conventional loan to an FHA loan and a refinance is going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and a simple call to me is, hey, should I do this? Does it make sense? I would have easily said, no, don't do that. There's other options here. Let's look at other options before we do this.
Yeah, we've talked to you about, you know, we don't like to see people are taking money out of their equity to buy a boat, you know, or something luxury item. But when it comes to managing their credit card debt, they can sometimes put themselves in a much better position financially by maybe using some of that equity.
Yeah, lately, 30% of the transactions I do are accessing the equity in the house to pay off high interest rate credit cards right now. And that's a significantly better option than negotiating balances down, doing credit counseling, or filing bankruptcy, because those are all going to do significant damage to your credit for a long period of time.
Hey, John, we listen to John Spurr, who is the CEO of Inspired Life Mortgage. John, I got a question for you. When you're talking about debt advisors and they have these people go and consolidate their debts, and they do that, I don't know, is that debt that they don't have to pay, is that considered income, and do they have to pay that at their part of taxes?
I have no idea. I would imagine it is something that would maybe a taxable event, but I don't know. It's something they'd have to ask an accountant.
Okay. It was something I was thinking about because I remember a while back when somebody who had the Section 13, whatever, the loan, you default on your house.
Yeah.
And then the house get paid off, but yet whatever the interest, you didn't have to pay for, that's part of you just got income in, so therefore now you have to.
So when people are getting foreclosed on and they didn't, you know, there was that balance of the house that mm-hmm. didn't get covered,
yeah.
That could have been a taxable
okay.
event.
Okay. And I think that's what happened. I'm just trying to make sure I understand that people realize you have to go and find someone who understands the whole process before you just go into somebody looking to make money off of you.
Correct.
We're here with John Spurr, who is the CEO of Inspired Life Mortgage. We're heading to the break. Thank you for spending part of your afternoon with us. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Welcome back, everybody. We're here with John Spurr, who is the CEO and owner of Inspired Life Mortgage, which is a subsidiary of Inspired Life Group.
You just can't get enough of that.
I just love the fact how successful you are. And it just sounds so cool when I say it. I want people to know that, man. It's just so awesome. Subsidiary of Inspired Life Group.
When we were headed to break, you had mentioned, you know, to be cautious about taking advice from people that are really just looking to make money off of your situation. And we all have to make money. We all have jobs and we all have things that we're doing. But you had mentioned to me earlier that you had a client that took advice from a bankruptcy attorney that has now really maybe wasn't the best advice for them if they wanted to buy a home. And that may be part of that caveat is, what are your goals? Are your goals to be a homeowner in the near future? Because you kind of have to count the cost for those decisions.
And I saw a lot of this happen during COVID. I hate bringing up it's COVID's fault. And it's not COVID's fault. But there was uncertainty, right? People mm-hmm. didn't know if they were going to be working or not working, or for a little bit of time they didn't work and didn't get paid. And I think there was a lot of misinformation that was going on, and way too many people stuck in a house getting on the internet and researching and then asking the question, what are you doing? Because you're not getting paid. Oh, I filed bankruptcy. This is the attorney I used. And
right.
all of a sudden you have just a whole bunch of bad information floating around. And I've seen this over the last 4 years where somebody filed bankruptcy and yeah, it got approved in the courts, and the court was being pretty liberal at the time because mm-hmm. of COVID, because they didn't know where things were going to go. And you probably shouldn't have. You probably should have taken $30,000 or $40,000 out of your retirement account or wherever you had the money available, or sold a car, whatever you could have done, mm-hmm. and paid that debt off, because that BK is going to haunt you for 2 to 4 to 7 years, depending on what it is you're trying to do. And, you know, we get out the other side of COVID and everybody managed to fare okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, but there was that period of time where people just made some rash decisions, and now they're wanting to buy a house, and it causes a big issue if you're not 2 or 4 years out from that bankruptcy, and in some cases 7 years.
So if you're thinking about buying a house and you're wondering what you need to do to be in a position to buy, call John. If you just straight up are a financial wreck and you don't want to buy a house, don't call John. There's someone else that can help you. But yeah, if you're looking to position yourself for buying a home, that's what you do. And so, you know, we absolutely love working with John. He's helped so many of our clients. And sometimes the answer is not now.
It
comes with a list of what you need to do, right?
Absolutely. It's a 15 to 30 minute conversation. And if the answer right now is not now, it's not no, it's this is what we, if you really want to buy a house, this is what we need to do. Here is your roadmap. And I will work the roadmap with you. And if you want to do these things, you will own a house. I mean, I think I told you guys several months ago, I had a gal I worked with for over 2 years.
Right. Yes, I remember.
With a credit score less than 500 and hundreds of thousands of dollars of medical collections.
Wow.
And over a two-year period, we got them removed from her credit or negotiated down. She got a better job. She saved up $70,000 and she paid cash for a car, and she got her credit score over 700. And she bought a house with a $70,000 down payment with a monthly payment less than she was paying in rent. But it took 2 years. But she did every single thing I asked her to do in the process, and we went from trash credit to some of the best credit I've seen.
I think I like that story. It all reminds me of a client that I had that you know, who we always talk about, always bring them into this, where they wanted to buy a house, very young couple, didn't really have anything. They said, we don't know what to do. And I said, just go to John. And they went to you and they came back to me and said, we're not ready yet. He told us we had to do a couple of things and we're going to go and do these things. And if over about 6 to 8 months, they slowly but surely got one step. And we kept working with them and kept looking at homes, kept looking at things. And you said, yeah, they're ready. And now they're ready. They bought a house. They're in there where they need to go to. And guess what now? They're looking at buying another one. They're looking at going moving forward. Still following the principles that you brought up a whole 2 years ago.
Yeah. And it's a process. Rachel loves to tell her patients, it took you 40 years to mess your back up. I'm not going to fix it instantly, right? She says that all the time. And it's the same concept. It took you 3 or 4 years to wreck your credit. It's going to take a little bit of time to fix it. But it's all fixable if you want to fix it. And we know how to do it. But you've got to want to do it, and you got to put the time in.
I thought that something you had said, maybe might have been last year sometime, that you always tell me, you're not a financial advisor. That's not what you do. What you do is try to find a way to look at what you have and how do we get you into a home. And that's the main.
Yeah, I don't have a credit repair license.
That's what I want to
do. I'm not a credit repair company. I know the steps that you need to take to fix your credit on your own without spending a whole bunch of money with a credit repair company. And what the credit repair companies typically do is only temporary, get your score up long enough to get the house. What we're going to do is fix it forever, as long as you continue to make your payments on time.
I was raised in a pretty conservative financial home, I guess. I don't know if it's that we just didn't have any money, so we didn't spend any money. But I feel like as I started as a very young adult, you know, I avoided credit card debt. But in, you know, attending classes and things, I know that some of what they would talk about is like kids that are coming out of college and how much free credit, if you will, is handed to them. And you can start out life before you really have the experience to use those tools, being given way more than you're ready to handle.
If I can say one thing that I learned about things, that nothing is free.
No.
It's some way you're paying for it somehow. You just have to find out why. Look at the final print. So the little print underneath.
I put two daughters through college, and I have one that will be done in December. But they're financially savvy because I made them that way. They mm-hmm. didn't have a choice. They grew up with me. They didn't have a choice. But they would call me, "Oh, Dad, they're going to give me this free bubble." Nope, don't take it. "Oh, I just went for my student aid, and they said don't pay cash. They can give me..." Nope, pay the cash I gave. And they just... Part of what I think people don't understand is those colleges and those people that are pushing the student loans, they actually make money on selling you to take the student loan as opposed to paying the cash. Everybody, right. if it has to do with finance and somebody's pushing you to pay off your credit cards by negotiating the balance or anything, somebody is getting paid to make that transaction happen for you. And that's the scary part. But, you know, they make these credit cards look amazing for these kids in college.
Yeah, I actually, both of my kids were homeowners very early in life.
Very early in it.
Yeah, they were. And I think that it really set them up to succeed. And even when life kind of threw some curveballs, they were able to sustain themselves because they were homeowners and they had gotten that equity built up in those homes. And it really does help you out later in life when things happen that are unexpected and you don't have to turn to a credit card or turn to a loan to help you manage those times.
I mean, it should be no surprise with me owning a mortgage company. I mean, my first two daughters both owned homes by the time they were 20. And my youngest will be in that same boat. She just is trying to figure out if she wants to live in Hawaii or Arizona. So
tough call there.
Oh, my God.
You're going to be seeing Hawaii, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
At least you have a place to stay if you get to go out there.
I don't stay with my kids if I go visit.
There's some more unsolicited advice. Don't stay with your kids if you go to visit.
Hey, John, how do the people get a hold of you?
They get me on the office number at 520-247-3610, or they can find us at inspiredlifemortgage.com.
You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We'll be back for more of the show. Hi, everybody. We're back. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show with Ray Smith and Sandra Johnson. We're part of Johnson Smith team. If you're looking to buy or sell your home, if you have any questions concerning real estate, please call the Johnson Smith team. You can get hold of my beautiful wife at 520-850-1725. She is the CEO of that corporation. I'm Ray Smith at 520-904-7711. And we have Danielle Johnson at 520-373-6864. Now that I'm taking all these numbers, John, you might as well get your information in too. Tell them again how they can get a hold of you.
Hey, call the office at 520-247-3610, or you can find us at inspiredlifemortgage.com.
Okay, so I got to turn this train around. We've been talking about credit issues and all the ugly parts of life.
Let's talk about something fun, please.
Tell us something good, please. Tell us something good.
All right, so for months, you guys keep asking me rates, and hey, rates are so great.
You call it the four-letter word,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's a four-letter word. Anyways, we've seen about 0.5% improvement in interest rates in the last week and a half.
Wow.
I'm not saying that the interest rate roller coaster is over, but we have had 2 months of solid economic data that is starting to show that things might be cooling off, and it's got the Fed to change their tune a little bit. I mean, 2 months ago, the Fed was talking about possibly raising rates again, and then they said it was just going to be higher for longer, and I don't believe it yet, but now they're saying there might be a rate cut this year. So, I mean, in a 90-day period, that's a pretty good pendulum swing.
Yeah.
But we don't know. All I know is we're about 0.5% better than we were. That gets us back to where we were. What are we, approaching July? So that gets us back to rates that we had around in April, and, you know, end of April, beginning of May, which the activity was hotter then. So
And now it's just hotter outside.
Exactly.
Which does not help in our industry. Nobody wants to go look at houses when it's 105.
Except it gets rid of the competition.
It does get rid of the competition.
If you don't mind driving around in 108 degree weather and looking at houses, there's not as much competition right now.
And we will do that. We do have clients out looking right now, and we never discourage them from going out and looking just because it's hot outside. We do.
Ray does, but nobody else does.
I love it. I love that it's hot because, like I said, I did 4 years. My earlier life, I was in Philadelphia. I know what winter is. Winter is really not that much fun. So if it's 108, I know that I just have to barbecue at 8 o'clock at night instead of at 4 in the afternoon. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, I'm the one that goes out and barbecues at 2 because I'm a desert rat, and that's what you do.
That's not going to happen in our house. People got to come over late, and then I'm going to do dinner with them at that time.
So, you know, looking forward, I know that no one knows what the rates are going to be, but we certainly know that election years always kind of mess with our industry.
No, they do. And, you know, there's, you know, an opportunity this year for either party to control everything. You know, it's very up in the air. Who does get into the White House and who does control the House and the Senate will make a definite impact on rates. And again, because, you know, one party doesn't want to spend money, one party does want to spend money, and I'm not going to go into politics, but the rest of the year is going to be interesting. You know, they're not going to lower rates in July. We know that. They're not going to lower rates in August. Most likely, it's either going to be September or December. They won't do it in October or November because that's going to look like they're messing with the election. Right. So it really is going to be dependent on what does the economic data look like for the next 2 months. And if it's continuing to trend downward and they're comfortable, they'll pull the trigger in September. If there's any evidence that the economy heated up again or the job market heated up again, it'll probably just be December.
Yeah, the one thing that Don Geisler, who is the CEO of Indy Realty and a designated broker, he's always says that no matter what, people will still buy houses and people are still selling homes, always during that time. So the process is always still going. And that's why you need people like us, the realtor and the lending people, to know what's going on in the market so we can help you navigate through these changes, because every day things are changing.
And I think it was a conversation I was having with Sandra this week that I had mentioned that I would rather have a higher interest rate and not overpay for the house mm-hmm. than have a low rate and overpay for the house. And as rates start to trend down over the next 18 months, and the fact that we have a true housing shortage in Tucson, I think that's where we're going. I think we're going to get into a lower rate market and the market's going to take off and we're going to have bidding wars again and people are going to be overpaying for a house. When you overpay for the house, you've always overpaid for it. If you have a higher interest rate, we can refinance you out of it. And those refinance days are closer now than they were 2 years ago when every LO except me was out there promising that you'll be able to refi in 6 months. And I'm like, yeah, no, you're not refinancing in 6 months, but you can afford your payment. So buy the house. You know, but I think we're much closer to those events that we need to happen that we can start looking at lowering people's payments in the next 18 months.
And when it comes to refining, you guys have had a special program for that to kind of help your clients out with their refis. Is that still going on?
Yeah, no, I mean, in general, if you did your purchase transaction with me, there's a refi program where you're not going to have, you know, as many closing costs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that stems from, we already have all the information. We already know who you are. Like, I don't have to do as much work, right?
Right.
This is just going to be quicker.
Do you proactively kind of reach out to your clients when you're starting to see those rates coming down? Are you?
My computer does. I mean, I pay for a service that monitors all this stuff and lets me know who we need to call, who we need to contact. But yeah, no, we're constantly looking at it. The other part that we have done for years is monitor their equity and reach out to them and say, hey, you know, home equity line of credits are available, seconds are available. You have this equity in your house. Do you want to pay off high credit card debt? Do you want to remodel? That's also been a successful process for us. There's been a lot of people that they weren't sure what to do and they're getting ready to not be able to make credit card payments, and we've taken care of those problems for them. And again, owning a home, like you said, is a great way to fight off emergency situations with that equity in the house.
Absolutely.
I love that idea of having that equity in line of credit to be able to help you feel comfortable. Having that nest, I think having that net that you really need. You know, sometime in life, you just need a net to make you feel comfortable as you're going through life and things happen. You know, well, if this happens, I know I can take care of it. And that thing's out of the back of your mind. You can go do other things now and press on with your day.
The equity line, Rachel and I have a revolving door. We keep coming up with creative ways to use it and then pay it back. I love the fact that I have one.
We got to work on that. I'm afraid I'll spend it.
She does say that, you know.
I don't really want it. I don't want to spend it.
There's not a state sale in Tucson that would be safe.
This is so true. John, you know me way too well.
We're here with John Spurr. He's the CEO and founder of Inspired Life Mortgage. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show with Ray Smith and Sandra Johnson. We're here on KVOI, The Voice, 1030. See you on the other side for the last segment. Thank you for hanging with us for the last segment of the show. Whether you're in the market to buy or sell your home, the Johnson Smith team at Indy Realty remains committed to assist you in either endeavor. Give us the opportunity to provide you the great service with our personal touch. Give us a call at 520-850-1725, 520-904-7711, or 520-373-6864. This is the last segment, so we'll continue our conversation with one of the most highly decorated industry experts, John Spurr of Inspired Life Mortgage.
You know, I'm glad that you said that, because at least it's not a violation when you say it. If I say it, I'm going to have all sorts of problems.
Well, we know he's good at what he does.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, talk to us a little bit about first-time home buyers.
Good grief. It's probably 90% of the transactions I do right now.
Well,
really?
Yeah. It's... I love working with them. I like the education side of it and explaining and teaching and guiding. A lot of them have spent too much time pre-researching the mortgage process online. And so you have to untrain them or you know, debunk what they've read online because, mm-hmm. you know, somebody has a million followers. They're now a mortgage expert without an NMLS number. Blows my mind.
But let that sink in for a minute. A million followers and no
NMLS
license.
Number. Yeah.
Woo.
But they know exactly what they're talking about. They're fun. I have fun working with first time home buyers. I think the biggest misnomer out there in that I hear from every single one of them, well, what first time home buyer benefits and programs are there for me? Well, it really is just a word we throw out there in the mortgage industry to get you to call us because you think we have some sort of first-time homebuyer program. There are a few that Fannie and Freddie have, and it's the same for every single person. I'm not going to have something better than somebody else. Everybody's going to have that exact same program. Mortgage lenders are all selling the same flavor of vanilla ice cream, right? We all get our money from the same place. The difference in closing costs and the difference in rate is basically who's making more money on the transaction. The other one is down payment assistance. Mm-hmm. And there are plenty of down payment assistance programs out there, but they all come with strings attached, right?
Right.
You know,
I think Rhea told us nothing is really free.
Correct. I'm not a huge fan of down payment assistance. I have a grant program. I like grant programs because it's the closest thing to free. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm not going to call it free is a grant program is going to have a higher interest rate on the loan, mm-hmm. but there's no strings attached on paying the money back. Once you have that 3.5% from the grant as your down payment, that's it. There's no second mortgage on your house. There's no, you have to pay it back in 3 or 5 years if you refinance or sell. None of that exists. So you can refinance out of the program in 7 to 8 months and get into a, you know, better interest rate. But it's not free because you're going to pay a slightly higher rate for a period of time, right?
I think everything, when we are working with clients, everything has, maybe a benefit and maybe a drawback. You know, when we're looking at homes and we're showing them a newer home versus an older home, we know the older home might have a larger yard and it's going to have maybe better construction because it was cheaper back when the house was built. But you're not going to get, you know, big closets and, you know, there's definitely give and take. And it really depends on what your goals are. Yeah.
What you're saying, Sandra, pros and cons on everything. I was going to ask you a question about types of loans if you have a few minutes.
I have 8 minutes and 12 seconds, according to the clock.
When we talk about loan products, there, and I thought I heard you talk about one time, there's one for remodeling, a loan product you can get when you're trying to buy a house, and you also get a fixer-upper. And use it.
So the mortgage industry likes to use their own terms, and we call them renovation loans.
Thank you.
And you can do it for a purchase or a refinance. So you may own a home right now and realize that selling it is not your best option because you can't find something else out there that'll match it, but you need an extra bedroom or you need a bathroom or whatnot. You can actually do a renovation refinance, and we base the loan on what your home's going to be worth after you do the renovation.
Okay.
Same concept for a purchase transaction. You walk into a house and the carpet's dingy and the cabinets are old and you don't like the layout of the bathroom. The appliances are dated. Well, that's not a problem. We can get some contractors to get us some estimates.
Right.
And we do a renovation purchase transaction, and the loan is going to be based on what the home is worth after the renovation. So we provide the appraiser with what we're going to do to the property, and then he determines what the home's going to be worth after it's updated. Then you buy the house, and the contractors go in, and they do the updates, and you move in, and you have an updated home that was previously owned without you having to do it out of your own pocket. So it's the renovation loan is a great loan. And there's 7 or 8 different renovation loans out there between FHA, VA, Fannie, and Freddie. And really understanding mm-hmm. the differences between them is the important part, okay, to figure out which one makes the most sense for you.
And that's one loan, right? It's not going to have voice in a second.
It's one loan. There's some timing to it. You're not moving into the house right away, so you're going to have some planning. Where am I going to live while they're doing the renovations? But it is a great option for these older homes that people have just lived in and didn't take care of, right? And you can get some decent equity doing this also.
We love equity.
Yes, we do.
It is. It's a great way to build equity in your home. A little sweat equity is what we used to... I think some of the old... loan programs had a way of getting sweat equity as
That was a great term back in the day. We can't do that anymore. We have to use licensed contractors and have bids and you're not able to do the work anymore. Even if you're a licensed contractor, some of these lenders won't let you do the work on your own house.
Well, that's probably all the fraud that occurred.
Fraud? What fraud?
Oh, what fraud? Back before what? 2007? Is that when all the changes came down?
Oh, gosh. 99, 2000, 2001, 2002. We were running amok doing whatever we wanted. It was horrible.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, so, licensed contractors are great.
They are.
I appreciate them.
I have a company that has an ROC. I love registered contractors. They're wonderful.
I'm going to circle back around the one thing that you brought up at the beginning of the show, talking about credit and how important it is that people to pay their bills and things like that. That seemed like a really big deal, and it seemed to be coming up more and more. And I want to make sure we emphasize that part of the loaning process.
I want to make sure everybody understands that credit affects everything in your life. It affects your auto insurance rate. It affects your homeowner's insurance rate.
It can affect your ability to get a job.
Yes. There are employers that are required by law to pull credit because you have some sort of financial, you're working with money or... And so credit affects everything in your life. Credit affects what mail offers you get in your mailbox. Your neighbor might be getting an amazing offer for a brand new air conditioning unit, and you never get it because your credit is garbage. So it's extraordinarily important to pay your bills on time. And if you get into a position where you can't make a payment, don't not make the payment. Call the creditor. Most creditors, if you're going to miss a payment, they will work with you and say, well, what was the problem? What happened? Great. We're going to postpone that payment to the next one. We're not going to report it on your credit. But you've got to make the phone call and tell them, this is my situation and I can get caught up in a month, and you can protect your credit. But just ignoring it and not paying it is the worst thing you can do.
I think all creditors want you to be proactive when it comes to this process. Would you agree? No?
Hey, they lent you the money. They want it back. I mean, it's
and you
like,
took
it's
it.
Like,
and you took
and
it,
you took it, yeah. Right? So if you call them and let them know there's a problem, instead of making them have to go get the money from you, which costs them money to go get the money from you, they're going to work with you. But when you force them to have the collection agent call you, or they have to put it into collections, or they have to go to a judge and get a judgment, you're costing them more money on the money they lent you. They're not going to be as willing to work with you. If you're proactive, you pick up the phone and say, hey, I lost my job. I have another one that starts in 2 weeks. Can I skip this payment? 99% of the time, they're going to say yes, and there's going to be no harm on your credit whatsoever.
And they can trust you. Now they feel comfortable with you, too, even though you're one number. They know they can trust that number to sit back and take care of things and pay the bills if something comes up, to be able to work with them to help them through the process.
And one of the things I've come across a lot with people that have credit issues, they're embarrassed about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid somebody's going to judge them. I'm not going to judge them. I've had credit problems in my past. Your lenders aren't going to judge you. They're not there to judge you. They're there to work through the situation with you and make sure you stay financially sound. But I think a lot of people are just scared to talk about it because they're embarrassed or they don't want to be judged. And in the financial world, very few of us are judging you on what happened. All we want to do is, how do we fix it and get you to where you want to be?
And credit can snowball so quickly.
So quickly.
Oh, it can get out of control in the blink of an eye. Just with how quickly credit card rates went up over the last 18 months, I cannot believe the number of people that went from having good credit and being in a good position to missing payments and not knowing what to do.
I thought I might have been missing something. For what I saw was that credit card rates at one time was, let's say, 8%. Tonight, so it was 23%. Did I miss something? Did it happen like in 3 months, or was it a year process?
Every time the Fed raised rates, credit card rates went up. You know? So we've had 18 months of nothing but rates going up and going up and going up. And, you know, we went from somebody with really good credit at a 3% credit card rate to, I've seen, as high as 27%.
Wow. John, how do people get a hold? This is John Spurr, the CEO of Inspired Life Mortgage. It was a subsidiary of Inspired Life Group. How do people get a hold of you, John?
They call the office at 520-247-3610 or inspiredlifemortgage.com.
And if you're looking for a townhouse, we have a two-bedroom, one-bath at 6673 East Cay La Paz, Unit D. It is basically at Tanca Verde and Kolb area, and it's 194 838 square feet. Give us a call. We'd love to help you get into a home.
Open house should be going on right now.
Actually, our open house is out at Diamond D.
Come on out there anyway.
Diamond D. So look us up online, and we'll get you set up with where the open houses are. 2270. I want to say South Diamond D, but I don't know. Yeah, it is South Diamond D Drive. So come out and see us this weekend. We want to thank our sponsors, Inspired Life Mortgage, Indy Realty, Rego Pest Prevention, Pillar to Post, and
Pioneer Title.
Pioneer Title.